I don't know, some of you may not know this, but I have, in the past, I've guided trophy whitetail hunts, and that was been one of the greatest things that I've done apart from pastoring. I just enjoy it. I just love it. Going out there, big, giant deer, and getting a person on that deer and trying to get them to that deer. And I think because we're in a high fence that it's a canned hunt that's going to be simple. Well, some of you who have the high fences know it's not that simple when it's 95 degrees and nothing's moving. And so you get in the Polaris and you take the guy out there with you, and sometimes you like to mess with the guys because you're on 2,500 acres and you go out there and you kind of go, do you remember where the stand is? The guy's like, well, no, you're the guide. You're supposed to take us there. I was like, I don't remember if we take a left here, if we take a right there. But we're going to try to get you on a great big deer. And one year, it was just 95 degrees in November, and the deer weren't moving, and nothing was happening. They would come up in the morning, and then right about the time it was light enough to see which deer it was, they would go and go back and bed down. Then in the evening, it would be after dark until they came back out, if they were eating at all. So we actually had to really figure out what was going on. So we found out where the ladies were, the doe, and we kind of knew the bucks were going to be around them, and so we set up a pop-up blind, and we got in this pop-up blind. Well, it's different when you're sitting in a pop-up blind and you're on the ground right where the deer are going to be, and if you're 150 yards in a blind. You're 150 yards in a blind, and you can pop open a Coke, and you can drink, and you can talk, and things like that. You can't do that when you're sitting in a pop-up blind. Well, this guy didn't know that. And so we're sitting there expecting the deer to come out from behind us and around us and everything. The doe came out waiting for the bucks to come out. And all of a sudden I can hear crunch, you know, just the crumpling of paper. And it's driving me nuts. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? And it's just going on and on and on. And I look over and he's trying to open a candy bar. I'm like, just open it. You know, just get it open. You know, hurry up. And so I was like, it's not the smartest thing to be eating. They're right here. They can smell real good and they can hear real good. So he eats it anyway. He don't care. And a little bit later, I hear more crunching. Paper. I'm like, oh my gosh. Next thing, you know, I could smell this. It was a mint. We're over South of Mason. I'm like, they can smell that in Llano. They can smell this, you know. We're looking for this deer to come out, and we're finally sitting there, and I'm like, God, I don't know how we're ever going to get this guy a deer. Nobody's gotten a deer all week because it's just been too hot. We're sitting there, and finally, this deer walks out about 15 yards to my left. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And so he's moving around. I just grabbed hold of him. I said, don't move. Don't move. And he was kind of, whoa, what's going on? And this deer comes out, and it's looking right at us. Well, he goes to moving. Trying to get his gun ready. I said, don't move. What part don't you understand? Don't move. And so the deer is looking right at us, and it's just like, oh, no, we're in trouble. It's the deer we were looking for. He finally comes out a little bit, and I said, when I tell you, get your gun up onto this rest and just freeze. Don't move. Gets it up. The deer starts walking out, and is just looking at us, trying to get a bead on us. Comes out. I said, okay, this deer is going to start running off. I'm going to scream at it. As soon as it stops, that's the only chance you've got. So the deer starts trotting off, and I'm, hey! And the deer's like, what? Wham! And he shoots that deer, and we get it down. And so we have this celebration. We're taking pictures. We get back to the camp, and this guy says, we're talking, telling stories about it, and he says, James was rude to me. I was like, what? You're the only guy that's gotten a deer? What are you talking about? Well, when you grabbed me, it was hard. I mean, you were aggressive. I said, well, you got a deer. Nobody else got a deer. And in 3 and 4 days that I was with this guy and guided him the whole time, he was one of 2 guys out of 10 that got a deer and tipped me $100. That's not good. That's not good. That is terrible. If you have hunters and you know this kind of stuff and you get tipped, that is terrible. I mean, I just wanted to go and take his deer and hide it, not take it with me. And so then the next year he came back and he said, I'd like to have James again as my guide. And I was like, no, that ain't happening. That is not happening for me. And so without the guide, this guy, you don't get things to happen. I'm getting ready to go to Israel in November. I'm so excited about it. I cannot wait. I'm so excited to go to Israel. Well, I get to go with a guy who's, this is his 53rd time. He's not 53. It's his 53rd time. He's the Ancient of Days. But he's got all of this experience. His name's Jim Rose, and he's got all this experience of being there. Who wouldn't want to go with a guy that's been there 53 times? I'm like, I can't wait to glean all the information I can off this guy. Just tell me what to expect, what's going to happen. I want the Lord to move in my life. What a better guy to go with than him. He knows more than the guys that are over there to be paid to be the guides. It's going to be amazing. So we need to be guided in our lives. And guess what God decided to give us? The Holy Spirit. It's pretty crazy. Some of you are like, I don't know. Remember, we talked about this Holy Spirit thing. It's kind of weird. And, you know, I could call it Holy Ghost, and then it gets weirder. But this Holy Spirit thing is supposed to be, I want to tell you what Jesus says in John 16, verse 7 and in verse 13. He says this right here. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, if Jesus is with me and he says, I'm going to go away and it's good for you that I go away. You know, all the disciples were like, no, it's not good for us that you go away. You stay right here. We've seen the miracles that you can do. You stay right here beside me. It's not good if you go away. And he said, no, it's good. It's for your good that I'm going away, because I am going to send you the Holy Spirit. He is going to guide you. I just can't understand how it would ever be good for Jesus to leave you. And as I'm starting to think about it, I'm like, you know what I think Jesus was saying there? He was limited, like you and I are, by his flesh. There was only so much that he could do with his flesh. In his flesh, he couldn't be everywhere at once. Just like us. We can't be everywhere at once because we're flesh. But if you'll remember, after his resurrection, what did he do? He would show up to people and then he would just disappear. That's cool. I want that gift. And then they're all locked in a room. The disciples are locked in a room because they're afraid that if anybody that's associated with Jesus is going to happen, they're going to get on the cross like Jesus did. And guess what happens? They're in a locked room and Jesus just shows up. Hey, guys, I'm here. And they're like, did you hear the door open? Did you unlock it? And he just shows up and they fear. They're thinking it's a ghost. Remember the Holy Ghost stuff. All of a sudden, Jesus doesn't have limits. Once we get to heaven, we will not have these limits. I am going to eat so many pastries, it's ridiculous. It's going to be awesome. I have a friend who can't eat bread. She's going to have bread under her arm, she said. And I'm going to be on Jesus' shoulders having a donut, feeding Jesus a donut, and we're going to have fun, and we're just going to not be limited by what I'm a diabetic, so I'm not supposed to, let me put it that way. I can't say I can't because I cheat sometimes. Sunday's my cheat day, but I found out if you cheat too much, it hurts. And so you got to be careful, but here we are, we're limited by this flesh, and I think Jesus was too. And he said, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to send my Spirit to be with you guys, and he will guide you into all truth. He can be anywhere at any time, and if you're looking for truth, guess where you can go? It's right there. Even in our culture today, James, are you serious? We can know what truth is? Because in our culture today, truth is relative. It's whatever I say it is. No, that's an opinion. If truth can't be relative, because if your truth is different than my truth, and we just all have these opinions, it's not truth. I mean, think about that for a second. I know that you've been taught different lately. Well, can there be absolute truth? Can it be? I talked to an atheist one time. They said, there's no such thing as absolute truth. I said, are you absolutely sure? It was kind of funny. It was kind of funny, but I had that relationship with this person, and they're saying there's no such thing as absolute truth. And I read in my Bible something completely different. I wish we would just be honest with ourselves, quite honestly. I wish we would just say, you know what? I know what the Bible says about gossip, but I got to have my stories. I'm just going to be honest. I got to have this stuff. I know what the Bible says about this. And rather than make up some lame excuse, just say what it is. I don't want to. I'm not going to listen to God. It was the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. I finally got to the point where I just knew I could not follow everything in the Bible. And I told God, screw you. I said, if I'm going to go to hell, then I'm going to live it up and it's going to be awesome for me. I knew what the Bible said, and I chose not to do it anyway. You know what I feel like God's word to me was? Finally, I know where you stand. You keep riding the fence on this side or this side, and you keep living these half-truths, and that doesn't work with me. Because then I call you lukewarm, and guess what he says about that in Revelation? I want to spew you out of my mouth. He doesn't like lukewarm. I don't like lukewarm. And so I went all the way the other way. And I tried all these different things, thinking it was going to make me happy. I'm going to live for me, I said. I'm going to be happy with me. And can I tell you, there was times when I was happy. I was having a great time. And then guess what happens? I just get down worse every time I was done having some fun. I would get worse and worse and worse. And this hole in my heart kept getting emptier and emptier and emptier. Until finally, I said, God, you have to do something. Who are you? And he revealed himself to me in the most real way that I ever knew, sitting in a church service. And I have no idea what they sang about. I have no idea what they preached about. I just know. I said, God, you have to show me. Who are you? Are you real? And he revealed himself to me that day in the most real way for me. And he goes, everything you were experiencing before was not me. This is who I am. And it changed my heart, and it changed my life forever. We keep believing all these lies, and we have the spirit of truth living inside of each one of us. And we can know what the truth is, and the truth can set us free. There are so-called Christians that are out there saying, there's many ways that you can get to God. And I say so-called Christians because if you're a Christian, you should know that there's only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus. John 14:6, he makes it very clear. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care what your parents said or what they said in Sunday school. That's the truth. And I've seen some of these signs that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It should say, God said it, that settles it. And quite honestly, isn't that the best thing? Is to know the truth and to have a truth to stand by? Other than that, you see what our country's become? Because we just say truth is what we say it is, what we feel it is, what we think it is. And they used to say that, you know why people are struggling so much? Because we're uneducated. Well, can I tell you something? We're the most educated people on earth now, thanks to the internet. And guess what? We're the dumbest people on earth now. Well, the doctor said this is what it's supposed to be over here. Well, this doctor over here said it's supposed to be this. How am I supposed to know? Well, this guy over here, this pastor says this over here, and then this pastor over here says this, then it's okay to do this. What does God say? Period. Why are we having these arguments about what God already makes clear? Because we want to have it our way. You might as well change the Lord's Prayer. My will be done. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My will be done. Just stop there. Because that's the end, pretty much end of what you're needing to know there. I mean, if you don't make a decision at some point, guess what? It will be made for you. Even if it's the end of your life. In Philippians 2, he says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, you can sit there and say, oh, well, I don't believe that. Well, then don't. I still love you, but maybe you shouldn't call yourself a Christian. Because that's kind of the focus of Christianity, is Jesus. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It's going to happen, whether you agree with it or not. And I'll tell you what, I would much rather be on this side of things than the other side of things when this whole thing goes down. I mean, is the risk worth eternity? We're talking eternity here. We're not talking about a couple years or 50 years or 100 years. We're talking eternity. You can't even say it's a long time because that doesn't make sense to eternity. 1,000 years, just like that. I can't wait to get to heaven and say, hey, I'm going fishing. When are you going to be back? A couple hundred years. Because I'm going after a big one. It's going to be great. And then I'll get back and they're like, you're already back? My gosh, that was quick. There's no concept of time up there. I've said this before, that everybody wants to spend eternity with God, but nobody wants to spend time with Him. Ooh. Ooh, don't write it down, because then you might be responsible for it. What happens when you don't have a guide? It's easy. You get lost. You get lost. Let me show you an example of what lost is. There's somebody out there right now, supposedly smarter than we are, that's saying that there's 73 genders. Whoa! That takes more faith to believe than anything else I've heard an atheist ever say. There are 73 genders. I can prove it. Really, name them all. And please, somebody explain that to me. Somebody explain it. I'd just rather just go with God, because He makes it pretty simple. You know what God said about that? I created male and female. The end. It works in every facet of life. You know, that guy's got male parts. He's a man or a boy. That person's got girl parts. That's a girl. That's a girl. And I mean, some people, I can tell, they're just, I'm not sure if I'm offended at you or not, mister. I'm pretty sure I might be. I'm pretty sure I'm just not sure. I don't know what is going on around here. You're not supposed to talk about these things in church. We have elected officials whose job is to determine how mature we need to be in order to smoke a cigarette, in order to drink alcohol, in order to shoot an AR-15, which I was doing at 17 years old in the military, but now I can't buy one at 25. Is what they're saying. That's when you're mature enough to really shoot one of those things. And the same elected officials are coming in saying that you only have to be 5 years old in order to determine what gender you want to be. What a crock of crap. 5 years old to determine what gender you are? We can't even do gender reveals anymore because the child hasn't decided what they are. We popped the balloons and it was both blue and pink. How's that? Well, because it hasn't decided yet. And then you can't call it an it, because then that's disrespectful. And I'm like, well, is it he, she, they, what? I don't know what. You guys are confusing. God makes it so much easier. He said, there's girls and boys. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. And we keep believing these lies. And we keep getting more lost and more lost and more lost as we believe them. We have elected officials who cannot, or maybe really will not, are not able to define what a woman is. I won't do that over the air here, tell you what a woman is, because if you don't know, we have people that will pray with you afterwards up here and help you determine what a woman is. And the answer was, I'm not a biologist. What does that have to do with you don't know if you're a woman or not? That's crazy. James, are you a man? I don't know. I'm not a biologist, weirdo. I mean, that's weird. And these are supposed to be our elected officials who are out there to protect us. We've lost our identity. There's people out there saying, I identify as a cat. Meow. And they're serious. They are really serious. If you go up to somebody and they bark at you, can I tell you what that is? That's called mental illness. Oh, you can't say that, James. I'm never coming back to Journey. Thank you. We need to be unified by the Holy Spirit who brings about order, not chaos. And I would love to talk to you. If you're confused about these things, we can have a talk. I still love you. I'm still on your side. But you're confused if you think you're a cat. We have all these guys who want to compete in women's sports. You look weird in a girl's swimsuit. It's gross. Well, I have no competitive advantage. Yes, you do. I can see it all over the place there. You have a huge competitive advantage, and it's weird. But we don't have the girls going the other way. Why? Because there's no advantage that way. Why don't you have girls going out there and competing in the men's PGA? Because they drive the ball 400 yards. I mean, it's just common sense. I'm not even sure we need the Holy Spirit to reveal this to us. We shouldn't, but we have this Holy Spirit in our lives that gives us the truth. He can lead us into all truth. But what do? We bounce around from each other to each other, to counselor, all these things, and guess what we can do? Holy Spirit, would you just please show me what the truth is here? Would you please just show me what the truth is? I heard someone say that if Satan can label you, he can limit you. If Satan can label you, he can limit you. We cannot let Satan be the one who identifies who we are. We cannot let him do that. Only God can tell us who we are. Other than that, you will have confusion and chaos like we're seeing all over the place. And you know what we're considered? We're considered the weirdos. Isn't that crazy? Most of the time, it's because we're just silent about the issues. We don't speak up. Maybe it's either because we're ignorant or we're afraid. We're just afraid that we might get made fun of. In 1 Corinthians 14:33 says that God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And that word disorder means confusion or chaos. And the word peace means order, as in a courtroom. You ever seen a courtroom get out of control? What does the judge do? Why? Order, order, order. He brings that thing to order. And guess what? If you keep running your mouth, you get taken out of the courtroom. That's what happens. And so it says that God is a God of order, not chaos. And what we're seeing out there is a bunch of chaos. It is okay to believe that there are two genders. It's okay to believe what the Bible says about our lives and who we are and our identity. It's actually better if we do. I want to read Romans 8, 14 to 17. I think. Yes, I do. Romans 8, 14 to 17 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory." We're adopted. How does that work? How does that work that we're adopted? The truth is, I don't know. The truth is, I don't care. I just know that I get to be a son or you get to be a daughter of the living God. We don't really understand how all that works. You don't have to understand it to believe it. I mean, think about it. You got Adam who was laying there. He's supposedly made of dirt, right? And God makes this cool creature out of the dirt. And he's laying there. And nothing's happening until what? God breathes life into him. And all of a sudden, Adam comes to life. How does that work? I don't know. It's called a miracle only that God can do, and I think it's absolutely amazing. I think it's amazing that God can breathe life and give dirt an identity. Think about that for a second. God can give dirt an identity. And guess what happens if you do it the other way around? The dirt will give you identity. Said he breathed life into them. And he does that the same with us. He breathes his life of the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we can know who we are. And it gives us an identity. I am a child of the living God. It says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Holy Spirit will give you identity. God is our Father. We are His children. And now we can learn what it is, what truth is, because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. All we have to do is ask. He will teach us. Isn't that what He said He'll do? Isn't that where faith comes in? Well, how does that work? Like I said, we don't know exactly how all that works. And at the end, He says, if we share in His sufferings, nobody wants to hear that part. If we share in His sufferings, we get to share in His glory. What sufferings is He talking about? Well, I can tell you a few, right? We've just been talking about them. Go out there and tell people that you're a child of God. Watch how they react to you. You'll get some suffering going on. Go out there and tell them there's only two genders. You'll have some suffering going on. Go out there and tell them that you believe abortion is wrong. Woo-hoo. You'll experience some suffering. Go out there and tell them that there's only one way to God. You will experience some suffering, but we don't do it because we are afraid. I'm going to read something to you that's pretty scary, quite honestly. Most people don't want to read this because it just brings about controversy. I'm going to read it, though, out of Romans 1, 25 to 32. Paul is talking to the Romans, and he's saying that they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Now, God's not punishing them. He just said He gave them over to it. It's their consequences for doing that. It's not like He's coming after us and trying to crush us. He's saying, if this is the way you want to live, fine. You'll have your own consequences, and this is what's going to happen. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. I didn't make it up. And this is not a slam on homosexuality. If that's the only thing you got out of it, you missed all the rest of the stuff. There was a lot more listed there. But if you were ever confused about how God feels about homosexuality, it's right there. He doesn't hate them. If you hate people because they're homosexuals, then you've missed it. You've completely missed it. It makes no sense at all for us to do that. God says this is a way that's living that hurts you. It's not the best way to live. But neither is slander, malice, gossip, disobeying your parents. I wish I could have heard Paul preaching this. He would have been on a roll and everybody had been like, oh my God, whoa. I hope somebody wrote that down because that was a lot of junk. That was a lot of stuff there. Does that not sound like our country today? It says they not only do these things, but they approve of those who do them. And it's that approve word means pleased or gratified. We celebrate it with people. I can't tell you how many Christian Facebook profiles have the rainbow, perverted rainbow on their page. Come on. Can I tell you that God's rainbow was there before that one was there? And then they put love wins. Come on. That's not the truth. It's not the truth, guys. You want love wins? You know what the rainbow was supposed to mean? That God would never flood the earth. There's a sign from God that said, I'll never flood the earth again. And I'll never wipe out the people by water again. So every time you see that rainbow, you can go, man, God, that's a reminder of God's promise. And what have they done? They've taken it and perverted it. And we've bought into the lie. And if you've bought into it, don't feel all beat down and beat up. You can still make a choice. You can still love those people and support those people and love on them, even though you disagree with them. I disagree with you, but I want you to know I love you. I was a youth director for 17 years. You wouldn't believe how many kids have gone through, and then they go out and they experiment with those kinds of things, and they come back to me and want to know, do you still love me? And I tell them, absolutely, I love you with all my heart. Do I agree with you? Can I do your wedding? No, I can't. I'm sorry. But I do love you. With all of my heart, I love you. But I do not believe that God's okay with it. But I don't believe that God's okay with gossiping and slandering and not obeying your parents and all of that either. But there are different consequences. Can I tell you that? If I lie to you today about where I'm going for lunch, that's probably not going to be near the consequences as if I go out there and kill somebody. Right? If I go out there and murder somebody, more than likely I'm going to jail if I get caught. But if I lie to you about where I'm going to lunch today, you might go, James, that was dumb. Why'd you do that? The consequences are still in effect. And so I think that's where we get confused. As we keep looking, the consequences will continue to happen, but yes, God still loves you. And sometimes He loves you enough to let the consequences happen. If you do this, this will happen. That's what God does. But I still love you. I still love you, though. If you touch the hot plate, it will burn your fingers. They've told me that every time at the Mexican restaurant. And guess what I do? Well, how hot is it? Oh, that hurt. Well, duh, I told you not to do that. Because I told you, this plate's really hot. And God tells us, you do this, and this happens. And then we do it, and bad things happen. As we go, I can't believe it, God, you're just so rude. I can't believe you'd let me have the consequences for my negative behavior. But He does. And you know what He tells me? James, I'm disciplining you because I love you. Isn't that terrible? Don't love me so much, God. I mean, this is terrible. You love me a really, really, really lot. You know, James, you're going through a hard time. What happened? Oh, discipline. It's terrible. He just loves me so much. I don't know if we have a band to come back up here, but we're going to try it anyway. They're going to go get Lisa. She'll come back. So what do we do? What do we do with this newfound information about the Holy Spirit? Well, if He's the guide, guess what we should do? Follow. We should follow Jesus. Can I tell you something? You don't follow people by accident. We don't follow people by accident. It's an intentional choice to follow somebody. And so here we have the opportunity to follow Him and keep our eyes on Him. And the one thing that you're going to get paralyzed by is fear. I've seen people just not sure. I've asked the Lord what I'm supposed to have for breakfast. And I'm just not really sure what He wants me to do. I can tell you right now, He doesn't care. Can you imagine if your kid came to you for every meal? What am I supposed to have for breakfast? I don't know. Just go get something and leave me alone. Give me some coffee first. What should I have for lunch? I don't know. What about dinner? I am so convinced that there was probably the Israelites looking at the Red Sea parted and going, which way do we go? It's all parted. And there's the bad men behind you. And it's dry there and it's wide open. Just go. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can't. I don't know what to do here. Go forward. We really try to make it hard, don't we? I mean, it's just crazy. Even if you miss it, we have a wonderful promise in Romans 8:28. Even if you miss it, it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. All things. Even if I miss it, if I'm trying to follow him, and I'm doing my very best, and I come off the road there, you know what he does? He just guides me back on. He says, you know what? You didn't love that person very well, but guess what I'm going to do? Because I love you, I'm going to give you another opportunity. It's going to be wonderful. You know how many opportunities God gives me because I don't get it right the first 14 times? And God goes, it's not a failure as long as you keep trying. And please don't use this stuff against me. It happens all the time. I heard someone say one time, as long as you're trying, you're winning. Who said that? He's an idiot. Right? It's terrible. It's terrible. But as long as you keep trying, he said, I'll turn it. Do you believe that or do we not? Don't get paralyzed by fear. What am I supposed to do? I don't get it. Let me tell you who does get it. He understands you. He gets you, and he's going to be with you and understands that maybe you've never done this before. How many have ever seen a baby start walking? Some people think it's cute, right? Your baby starts to walk, and they're taking those first steps, and you're filming it and you're everything, and then they fall down. How many people, when that baby falls down, looks at it and goes, what an idiot. My baby's dumb. It's probably something wrong with it. Took three steps and fell. I think it needs physical therapy. There's something wrong with this child. And we expect that God's going to do that when we try to listen to his voice and we start walking. And then we fall and he goes, you know what? Let's get back up. You took three steps. It was amazing. I filmed the whole thing. He says, now take some more steps. I'll never forget wanting my kids to walk and then wanting them not to walk again. Because now they get into everything. And we start walking and we start taking these steps. And God understands us. He gets it. I think God allows the journey so that we can appreciate the promised land. Because right now, my journey is terrible. My journey is suffering and it's rough. But there's a promised land that's coming. There's a promised land, and I can't even begin to thank you for last week and praying for us. I can't even begin to thank you enough and for the hands and feet of Christ that I felt through you. It's just tough. It's just tough, but we're going to keep going, and we're going to keep going, and I know that because you guys are in my life, it's going to help me get to the other side of this. It'll help Brandy get to the other side of this. Whatever that looks like, I don't know. But I'm learning that I can trust him in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the suffering. And we covet your prayers, and I thank you so much for them. He allows the journey so we can appreciate the promised land. I know who I am because I know whose I am. I am a child of the living God. Nothing can ever change that. Nothing can change that. I'm his kid. And some may argue, I argue to people, that I'm his favorite. Because he's told me that. But he's kind of like the China Walk guy over there. Everybody his friend too. I thought I was his only friend. And the guy behind me, he goes, hey, friend. Hello, friend. Well, God's going to tell you that you're his favorite, too. Amen. You are his favorite. You are his favorite. And if you don't know him, we got people that can pray with you. During our last song, we're going to have people that can pray with you up here. Afterwards, they're going to still be up here. They can pray with you. And if you don't know what it means to know Jesus, you can through Romans 10:9. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. You will be saved. If you've never made that decision, you need to. And he says that when you do that, once you've believed, you receive the Holy Spirit, and he starts walking with you. And he will help you. He will guide you all the way into Jesus' arms. He will do that for you. And so I just hope that you'll take that moment to really think about, even if you disagreed and you're really mad at me right now, think about it. Pray about it. Before you come and talk to me, let's give it a day. Let's give it a day. We'll come and talk to each other, and we'll get through it together. Because there's some people, I have people that are my relatives that suffer with some of the things we've talked about today, and I love them with all my heart. I pray for them all the time. It's okay. God is not shocked by any of it. He's okay with it. And so I just want you to remember that you have this guide inside of you. So whenever you're lost and you're not sure where to go, follow him. He will guide you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come and learn about your truth. And that truth is Jesus. And he is the only way that we get to you, God. That's what you said. That's what we're going to believe. And we have to believe that your ways are the best. Even when they hurt, even when we're suffering, even in all the pain, that you don't allow this stuff to happen for no reason. But you're doing something in us on this journey that will lead us to a promised land. So thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I pray that he becomes our best friend. That we learn how to talk to him. We learn how to hear him. We learn how to know that he's with us all the time. So thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here together today. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand for our last song?